Amen, amen. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. How are you all doing? Woo! Hey, men, I just want to remind you that men's worship night is this coming Friday. If you're going to be there, say, woo, woo, woo. Oh, there's a few, Last night, the whole house surprised me. Almost every guy did that, all right? So listen, we would love to have you out this Friday. There's nothing like a group of guys coming together, period. That's just an experience in itself, right? But when we come together to worship, it's an awesome night. Hey, this weekend we had our district youth convention for 10 years as district youth director, as one of the events that I was a part of and always looked forward to. And this past weekend down in Providence, Rhode Island, we had 1,500 kids from all over Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts come together. And let me tell you, these kids know how to worship the Lord, amen? It was awesome. Even last night, after having been there all day Friday and all day yesterday, we had probably 10 of our students who came back, and they didn't go home last night. They stayed for last night's service, and my wife said, man, are you guys okay? And they said, we're hungry. And they said, well, go get something to eat. They said, no, we're hungry for more of God. And it was really a cool thing. One more testimony with this. Throughout the Assemblies of God, they break up with children's ministry, youth ministry, and then, of course, the adults. We all help support our missionaries in various ways. We got BGMC and children's ministry that helps provide different materials for our missionaries. We have a broader support as adults in helping just fund our missionaries. But in the student ministries, they raise funds every year to help purchase vehicles and sound equipment for our missionaries around the world. And they took up an offering this weekend, and it was pretty incredible, wasn't it, Pastor Tim? These are students, junior high and senior high students. And in one offering, we raised $50,000 for missions last night or this weekend. Isn't that cool? Praise God. God is good. I don't see her here today. Is Shatika here? She's outside. I just want to, many of you, she's not in here. You probably don't even know who she is, but Shatika has been with us for the last 3 or 4 years working as an intern. She's a North Point graduate of one of our Bible schools just an hour away from here. And she has just been hired by another church down in Connecticut to work in their youth ministry. We're really, really excited for her. And I know she's not in here, but can we just let her know we're proud of her this morning and give her a hand clap. Amen. The word refresh, it means to restore strength or to revive. Now, as a pastor and being in ministry for many years, I've often heard people say that they're overwhelmed. Sometimes they come into my office and they just say, Pastor Tim, I'm overwhelmed. I hear people all the time, just in passing day by day, and so do you. People all the time tell us how tired they are, worn down, and some people will even tell you they're just barely getting by. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you can relate just a little bit, or maybe you can relate a lot. These feelings or frustrations, however, I want to declare this morning, they don't need to have control over your life. Someone say amen. You don't have to be tired all the time. You don't have to be overwhelmed all the time. We've got to turn our eyes off of our internal selves, and we got to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. John 10:10, I try to work it into every message, as you know. It's one verse that you better have memorized someday. It tells us that Satan comes to kill and to steal and to destroy us. But the second part of that verse is where I take encouragement. The first part of that verse just reminds me, hey, there's an enemy, an adversary out there, and he wants to take you down. But the second part of that verse is the greatest encouragement to me, and I hope it is to you too. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have life, what, more abundantly. God wants you to live an abundant life. God wants us to prosper. He does not want you to be defeated by our foe. That's why he died on the cross at Calvary for our sake, that we might walk in his victory that he won for us on that cross. We don't need to be defeated. Someone say amen. At the same time, we're all well aware of the fact that life can be tough. Life can have its challenges. It can be trying at times, and sometimes life is just not fun. But God wants us to learn how to live our lives refreshed. And I use that word learn very intentionally. We have to learn how to live our lives refreshed. We can learn to live our lives and feel refreshed even when the challenges of life are in the midst of us. How many understand that? How many know that this morning? We can learn because God's word teaches us how we can live our lives and prosper each and every day. God's word faithfully and consistently tells us how we can achieve this. Now listen to this, Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The scripture says that he who practices those two things, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. Verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. See, that verse isn't just a bunch of words, folks. That verse is a promise from our God, amen? And if we can learn to read the word of God and to take in and learn from him, let the Holy Spirit inside of us teach us the ways of God and then help us to put them into practice in our lives, we can learn to live a life that is the abundant life, that is a prosperous life. Even though all of hell is breaking loose around us, we can learn to have peace in the midst of it all, amen? My wife and I, when we were looking for a house a couple years ago, we weren't necessarily looking for a house with a pool, but God blessed us. It had it has an above-ground pool in our house, and last summer was the first time that we had opened it and were able to use it, and let me tell you, it really was refreshing. I can think about many Saturday afternoons before Sunday service, where instead of being crept up in a room like I am most of the summer, I would get on this little floaty thing on the pool, and I would sit there and I would just meditate on the message that God had put on my heart. I would look up as I'm floating around that pool and the trees all around us and the birds singing, and I'm just telling you, I can't wait to open my pool this year. As I'm sitting there telling you, I'm like, come on, April, all right? It was very refreshing. It was very refreshing. What do you think of when you think of that word refreshing? Where do you go in your mind when you hear the word refresh or refreshing? When we meditate upon God's word, he will teach us how to live a life consistently being refreshed in him. Day by day, as we renew our minds upon the word of God, he will teach us how to be prosperous in life. Now, the world has drilled into our minds a certain picture of prosperous. And it's quite different than the prosperous word in the Bible. It can mean having money. It can mean success. It can mean driving a BMW. But I'm here to tell you today, there was no BMW when that scripture was written many years ago. Amen? There's a way to live prosperous in our minds and in our health and in our relationships and in our finances that go beyond the world's way of doing things. And when we learn to align with the word of God and live out our lives according to it, I'm just here to tell you today, God has intended for his children to prosper in this life. Listen to this. God also wants to use our lives to be a blessing and to help refresh others. As a matter of fact, this is a really big key to learning how to have a refreshed life and how to live a prosperous life. Your destiny is directly connected to helping others find the love of God. If you're not in some way trying to live your life in such a way to lead others to the love of Jesus Christ, you're missing out on so much. Who can you bless? Who can you encourage? Who can you be a part of God using your life to help bring healing, health, and encouragement to another individual? Proverbs 11:25. I'm going to read it in the ESV version, and then I want to read it in the NIV version. The ESV version, which is if I don't delineate between scriptures, I always use the ESV version. 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. In the NIV, it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, this is a really important truth that we often don't think about when we wake up in the morning. But our day would be oh so much different on most days if we would think about that truth right there and say, God, help me to practice that truth. Let my life be a blessing to another person today. Help me, Lord God, to help refresh my person or my neighbor who sits next to me at work or my neighbor that lives to me in my neighborhood. If we would just learn to help refresh others and to get into that habit, our lives on a daily basis would begin to look a whole lot different, amen? Is there someone at the office that you could be a blessing to? And you know it. There's a person at the office, your office, or wherever you work. Maybe you drive trucks or whatever you do. Is there a person who works alongside of you that you could be a blessing to? Is there someone that you could help that you know in your life that you could help lighten their load just a little bit? Is there a family member who's maybe going through a really difficult time that you could step in and come alongside of them and just help bear their burden for just a little bit? Maybe it's just as simple as making them a meal once a week for a period of time. Look, don't wait until you feel like being a blessing for someone. It's something that you have determined today, beginning today. I'm going to begin to be a blessing to those around me in my life. My husband, my wife, my children, my neighbors, my coworkers. I'm going to be a blessing to others. Amen? We should practice every day living generously because it blesses and pleases the Lord. If for no other reason, we should practice living our lives in a generous way because it honors God when we do so. However, helping others it can be a key to helping turn around our very own circumstances in our lives. See, we've said it before in other measures, but so often when we're going through something, we're just so internally focused on what we're going through. And when we're focused on that, it's like the only thing that we think about. It's like always on our mind. It's always before us. Why? Because we're just choosing to always think about these circumstances that we're going through, albeit horrible things are horrible things. But in the midst of those horrible things, if we can adapt the word of God and begin to practice it in our lives and begin to get our eyes off of ourselves and turn our view onto others and how can I help someone else in their situation or through their circumstances, before you know it, as you get busy doing that, God will begin taking care of the circumstances in your own life. Let me ask you a question here this morning. I want to ask you, how many of you need a refreshing this weekend? How many of you would just be honest and say, Pastor Tim, I got to be honest. If I'm just looking at my own life and my own circumstances, I need a refreshing this weekend from the Lord. Can I see your hand? Just be honest, all right? Thank you, Jesus. People that we see every day need encouragement. People that we see every day, they need help. Some people, they just need a ride. That's all they need. Could we do that for somebody? Sure, someone in here could give somebody a ride. Some people need a hand. Some people, maybe it's a little bit bigger. They have a dream, and you hear about this dream all the time, and maybe there's something you could do to help sow into their life to help feed that dream. See, these are all opportunities for you and I to go and to be refreshed by learning to give of ourselves towards others. I'm issuing a challenge to our Liberty Church family this weekend, and that challenge is simply this. I'm challenging all of us to step out and to be intentional this coming week, and I want us to begin to look for ways that we can be a blessing and refresh others, amen? And we're only gonna take it one week at a time, so we're just saying for this week, I want you to look forward, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you came in here bearing the weight of yourself, I want you to be intentional and choose to think forward this week. Who can I be a blessing to this week? Who can I help bring a refreshing to this week? Because I believe it's a way that you can begin to see some change in your very own life. I want you to say this with me. Say, I am generous. Now say it again. Now say it with an exclamation point. See, I believe with all my heart that you will become personally refreshed and blessed when you begin to be intentional and practice being a blessing to others. We're going into a 4-week series here. This is week number one of the four. It'll take us right into Palm Sunday and right into Easter weekend. And the title of the series is called Generous Me. And the message title for this weekend is called The Relationship. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning that as we continue in your word, that God, you would draw us to yourself and that you would, Lord, give us vision forward and, Lord, help us to hear your word and, Lord God, to get excited about putting your word into practice in our lives. God, let us believe what we hear today and let us be determined to test you by your word and to watch you, Lord God, fulfill your each and every promise to us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11. And God is able. Who is able? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. These scriptures are super powerful. Would you not agree? They're powerful. Help me, Lord, to be a generous me. The word generosity, if you think with me for just a moment, generosity. Why do we give? Why should we give? Why is giving important? What if generosity was more than simply giving what was expected? What if it was meant to give more than what was expected of us? What if generosity was really designed by God to help us have a better view of our identity as a child of God? You see, we were created in the image of God. The word of God says that we were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of a very generous God. And his children, as his children, he calls each and every one of us to be a generous me. He wants us to be like Daddy. He wants us to be like Abba Father. He wants us to imitate who he is to the world around us. God showed us on the cross just how generous he was. And now he expects his children to follow suit. We're to live a generous life. God, help me to be a generous me. This means that God is asking us to live counter to the way that the world lives. To be generous as a lifestyle is to live counter to the way that 95% of the world or more, I don't have a specific statistic, but the majority of the world does not live daily in a generous fashion. The world's culture looks more like this: fear. The world lives in fear. The world lives with a mentality of scarcity, like there's not enough. They want to hoard everything to themselves because there's not enough. The world holds on to false securities. The world has all kinds of selfish ambitions, and the world is all about full-on consumption. As Christians, however, we're called to open our hearts, and we're called to open our hands. And that's how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to be an open book. He doesn't want us to hold on to the things that we have, but he wants us to understand that he gave us these things to share them to the world around us, beginning with our very selves, the gifts and the talents, the skills, the personalities that he's given each and every one of you. You weren't meant to be a silo and live your life by yourself, but you were meant to share yourself with the world around you. As a Christian, we're called to live and to love generously, just like Jesus did. The generous me is me choosing to live a generous life. That's what the generous me lifestyle is all about. It's about me choosing to live a generous life. And this can only happen through the relationship that we have with Jesus. You see, Jesus gave up everything when he took on humanity and he came down as a human being, he put himself in the midst of his creation, and then he went through all that he went through, and he gave up his physical life on that cross, paying the penalty for our sin. Going through all of that on our behalf, God showed us just how rich in generosity he is. So if you want to discover how you can live the generous life, you have to get really involved and really focused on the relationship that you have with Jesus. You have to go deeper. You have to grow deeper in your daily living with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do this? We get into the Word of God and we learn more about him, and we let the Word of God transform our mind and transform our thinking according to Romans chapter 12. We get into God's Word. It becomes one of the most important possessions that you and I have, the Word of God. Amen? We learn to pray, communicate, talk with God. He's there. He's present. He's with us wherever we go. God, there's never a place that we can go in life where God is not present with us. Amen? And we must talk to him. And then we must be still and quiet and let him speak into our own lives as we're reading his word. And then we must fellowship with other believers and encourage one another. And we must take his work. And here's where the word can only work, is when we choose to obey his word and put into practice what we learn, what he shows us, what we discover in the word of God. It's fruitless if we do nothing with it, but it's fruitful when we begin to take his word and take him at his word, and we begin to put it into practice in our lives. Amen? If we want to get to that place of being generous me, then you and I must commit to this relationship, all of our life to this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I spoke briefly about the great commandment. And matter of fact, I gave you guys a homework assignment, and I haven't checked. I'm waiting till the weekend's over. But I asked if you would write a one-page essay, two one-page essays, one on what does it mean to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and the other essay is what does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself. And if any of you brought that essays or those essays with you, you can turn it to the First Impressions desk out in the foyer with your name, contact information on it, and we're going to give away a really nice gift card to someone. We're going to draw a name if you took the time to do that. Why was that important to me? I've never done anything like that before, because if we can learn to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and if we can learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, this Christian thing, this generous me thing, this lifestyle called Christianity is going to get a whole lot easier. Amen? He makes it really simple. We just need to focus on those two things. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law and prophets can be summed up in those two measures. Living by the generous me principles is being focused on and prioritizing loving God and loving our neighbor in our everyday lives. What does God mean by being generous? Generous is defined this way. It's to have a noble or kindly spirit, number one. It's to have a noble or a kindly spirit. Number two, it means to be liberal in giving. And we're not just talking about money. How many have known people in your lives, an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, a teacher? Maybe they don't have a lot of money, but they were just always giving in different ways. You loved them because every time you were around them, you knew that you were going to get something. Can I see a hand? Anyone know somebody that gives in that way besides just money? To be liberal in giving, to be marked by abundance in ample proportions. It's beyond, though, even things. It's a generosity mindset is a way of thinking, and it's a way that we choose to behave on a daily basis. It's a way that we take what God's word teaches us and we put it into action. How can we become known as having a generous me life? And that's a really, really important question. We have to begin to put the principles of God's word into action in our very own lives. Psalms 24, 1 through 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." For us to go to the next level in our faith, for us to learn to become the generous me that God intended us to be, we have to understand that everything in this world belongs to God. And that there's nothing that this world has, there's nothing that you and I possess, not our clothes, not our home, not our car, there's nothing that we have that truly belongs to us. See, if we're ever going to get to that place of being generous me, we have to understand that God created the world. He created it all, and everything in it belongs to him, including myself. And when he paid the price on that cross, I lost all rights to myself, and I gave those rights fully back to him, recognizing that he paid a dear price to restore my relationship with God. That relationship that was broken in fellowship when Adam and Eve sinned back in the garden, Jesus fully restored the relationship for us who put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And for us to learn to live that generous me lifestyle, we have to come back to that place of understanding that all that I have, all that I possess, belongs to God. He's given it to me for a time. He's given it to me for a season. He wants me to be a good steward of all that he has given me, and he wants me to use it, and he wants me to have fun with it. He wants me to enjoy it, but it's not mine, because if it's mine, if I need to share it with someone else, I may be a little bit more restrictive in what I choose to share with someone else. Amen? He wants me to enjoy it. He wants me to have fun with it, but if he tells me to give it, he wants me to give it. And he has a right to tell me to give it. Amen? Why? Because it's not mine. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He created it all. Everything in the world, it all belongs to him. And we're going to really struggle ever getting to this point of being a generous me if we think that my house is my house, if we think that my car is my car, if we think that my amount in the bank is my amount in the bank. We're really going to struggle learning to be a generous me like God wants us to be. We have to understand that I am an instrument in the hands of God, and all that he has given to me, he intends to use for his plans and his purposes. Amen? Here's where it gets pretty cool, though, and I've already kind of said it, but God, even though he owns it all belongs to him, he wants us to enjoy the things that he's created, amen? I'll never forget when I turned 40 years old. That was 11 years ago. Whew. I'll never forget when I turned 40 years old. I had a buddy friend of mine who owned a Porsche, a boxer, convertible, really nice. And I'd ridden in it many times. But he drove up into my driveway, and he said, his wife followed him in another car. He came up, knock, knock, knock on the door, and he said, "Pastor Tim, enjoy." And he tossed me the keys. He says, "It's yours for a week." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah." I go, I'm not going to drive that thing. I'm afraid I'm going to like crash it or something. What if somebody wrecks into me, you know? And he said, "No, go and have fun with it. You'll be fine." For 2 days, it sat in my driveway. And he called me and he said, "Have you driven it yet?" I said, "No." He said, "Go drive that car, have fun." And man, I got in that car and that thing has power. Man, I'm just telling you what, I may not look cool up here, but I look cool in that Porsche. I looked really cool. I stopped at every stoplight I could just so I could look over to the person next to me. When I got on that interstate, I felt the power, but man, I never went one digit over the speed limit. God forgive me for just lying. I tested it out a couple times, all right? It was so much fun. It wasn't mine. I didn't own it. But for 1 week, I was the steward of that Porsche. And I got to have fun with it. I could drive it wherever I wanted to go. I had responsibilities with it. I had to put gas in it. I had to make sure that I tried to protect it and tried to keep it safe. But it wasn't mine. And it reminds me this weekend of the stewardship that God has given to us for the world that we live in. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to have fun. And he wants us to take care of it. But he wants us to understand it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. Amen? Now, we must never forget that Satan is a liar. And he will do everything he can when it comes. I could go a lot of different ways with this, but as it comes to becoming a generous me, Satan will try to convince us that all that we have, we own. He will work overtime to try to make us think that what we have in our closet, what we have in the bank, the house that we walk into every day, rent or mortgage, we own it. We don't own it. God gave it to us. But Satan will whisper it into our ears constantly. Why? Because he knows the power of a generous heart. He knows the power that comes alongside of the person that learns to be generous, that learns to live their life with open hands and an open heart, and they don't hoard on to the things that they've given them, that God has given them, but they freely give it away. Freely give it away. I have known people in my life where with all sincerity, if I made a comment like, oh, wow, hey, I'll call him John. John, I love that coat. That person would literally take his coat off, and in sincerity, he would be offering it to me. Have anybody ever known anybody like that? I got to be honest with you. Lord, I want to be a generous me, but I've not yet quite gotten to that point in every area of my life. I want to get there, though, because that's a powerful moment. That's a powerful moment when you understand this coat doesn't belong to me. Would this bless you, Pastor Rick? You can have this coat. He doesn't want this coat. It all belongs to God, everything. Satan will work overtime to try to rob us of our blessing, to rob us of our refreshing. He will consistently try to have you focus on what you would lose if you gave away that coat. But man, I'm here to tell you today that in Christ Jesus, the more we can give away, the more blessed, the more refreshed you will be, and the more power of influence you'll have in your life. Amen? 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You see, as citizens of God's kingdom, we've been entrusted with everything. God wants us to use it for his glory. God wants us to use it to help lead others to him. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote this powerful quote one time. It reads, From time immemorial, men have lived by the principle of self-preservation is the first law of life. But this is a false assumption. I would say that other preservation is the first law of life. It is the first law of life precisely because we cannot preserve self without being concerned about preserving other selves. The universe is so constructed that things go awry if men are not diligent in the cultivation of the other regarding dimension. I cannot reach fulfillment without thou. We have this whole coronavirus thing that's going around. And first of all, I want to say this. We are children of God, and we do not need to live in any fear. Amen? We don't need to live in fear. We do need to be wise. We do need to be aware, okay? Which is why we practice the air fives and stuff like that today. We want to be wise. We want to be aware. We don't know the power of this virus. I don't understand it all, but okay, but I'm not going to live in fear. It's not going to keep me from church. It didn't keep me from hanging around 1,500 coughing, sneezing students this last weekend, all right? Why? Because God's in control of my life. Even my life, my breath, God gave me, and I'm not going to leave this earth until God's finished with me, amen? So I'm not going to live my life in fear, okay? But one of the things as I was thinking about this coronavirus, my wife and I, we're talking about it the other day, and I literally began to get emotional and tear up and had to stop for just a moment in the midst of talking. And she's looking at me like, are you okay? are you okay? And I go, yes. And I just said, you know, this showed me something, because it's not too often that you see the nations of the world working together. But in this moment with this virus that we know very little about, it's like the economy doesn't really matter. The power, it doesn't really matter. We see people from China and America and France and the different nations of the world all using their resources and their knowledge and their wisdom coming together to try to figure out what do we need to do. It's a pretty powerful thought, isn't it? See, I can't survive. I can't live my life abundantly or in a refreshing way or in a blessed way without you. And neither can you of anyone else in this room. Your spouse, your children, your friends, your neighbors, our church family, the people that we work with, we need each other. And we need to recognize just how important those relationships are. And we need to stop holding on to what we have, and we need to fuel those relationships. We need to fuel the relationship with our husband and wife. We need to fuel the relationship with our children. We need to fuel the relationship with all that God has, all the people that God has placed in our lives. Why? Because I cannot reach my fulfillment without thou. Randy Alcorn, who wrote the book, Managing God's Money, A Biblical Guide, says this: God puts all of his resources at our disposal so that our lives, our whole lives, and everything that comes with it are at his disposal. I'm gonna ask you a question here this morning. What do you do? What are you in the practice of doing with what God has put in your disposal? How do you use the things that God has blessed you with in life? John 15, 9 through 17 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my, this is Jesus speaking, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay his life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. I have given to you. I have shared with you. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. I want to take a moment here this morning before we finish, and let's evaluate the relationship that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this question. How does our living show that we love God? Don't answer that out loud, but I do want to take a moment, and I want you to think about that for just a moment. How does our living show, prove, confirm that we really do love God? What's different about our life today in Christ compared to our life before Christ? See, we got to be careful how we answer that question, because how we actually live our lives might be different than the words that come out of our mouth in answering that question. Amen? Many people, even those in church, often seem to have a very strong relationship with the things this world gives us. Many people, definitely outside of the church, but also inside of the church, many people love their stuff. They love their things. They have their idols. 1 John 2:15 tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lord, help me to be a generous me. Lord, break the desire, the unhealthy desires that might be in Tim Moen towards the things of this world. God, break those unhealthy desires in my life. Lord, may the only love, true love that I have in my life, Father, be towards you and the things of heaven. See, pursuing stuff distracts us from our divine purpose. How many have heard me say at some point in the last 2.5 years that God's got a divine purpose for your life? Can I see your hands? I say it all the time. We were born. God pre-thought us out before we took our first breath. And when we begin or continue pursuing the stuff, the things, the idols of this world, it distracts us from God's divine purpose for our lives. It robs us of divine blessing. It will interfere with the relationship that we're wanting to work on with God through Jesus. pursuing possessions and things. It steals our time, and it steals our energy. It's no wonder. Maybe this is it. Maybe why so many people walk around having to tell everybody how tired they are. Maybe it's because they're pursuing the wrong things. Because I'm here to tell you today that after being with 1,500 kids this weekend, and after preaching 3 sermons this weekend, I will go home and I will probably take a nap, but with the biggest smile on my face. And I'll wake up fueled and empowered. I can't wait for Monday morning. Why? Because I believe that I'm walking in the purposes of God for my life. And when we can be that confident, and we know that we're headed towards being a generous me, and we're walking in the plans and the purposes that God preordained for our lives, I'm here to tell you today, it brings refreshing to our soul. It stirs up things on the inside of us. We're not tired. We're not worn out. There's a difference between being out in the yard all day long and coming inside and being physically worn out. That actually kind of feels good in a weird way. You're tired, you're ready for a nap or ready to hit the pool. Your body's sore and aching, but it felt good to get all that work done. Amen? It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're pursuing things you oughtn't be pursuing. It wears you out in a satanic, devilish way. He's trying to distract you from God's blessings. And it's being proven by how you're tongue is hanging out of your mouth and you're dragging yourself around throughout the course of the day or week. You're focusing on the wrong things. Possessions require unending maintenance. They have to be cleaned. They have to be repaired. They have to be fixed, replaced, removed. Pursuing the things of the world steals our precious attention and time that we could be doing things productive for the kingdom of the Lord. See, it's His desire that we build up our relationship with Him. I miss my kids. My daughter's in Springfield, Missouri. My son's in San Francisco. I miss my kids as their father, as their daddy. There's nothing that I look forward to more than getting their daily call or me calling them and hoping they answer on the other line. There's nothing I'm looking more forward to than the end of April, beginning of May, when all of us come back together again for McKenna's graduation from college. Listen, there's nothing our Father in heaven desires more, craves more, than daily communion with you, His child. Amen? And in his desire, we understand that God will ultimately provide for us all that we need. We can't just say, okay, great. Hey, thanks, Pastor Tim. I'm gonna quit my job tomorrow. I'm just gonna go. God's gonna provide. It's not what I'm talking about. But let's make sure that we're walking in the right plan and purpose for our lives. And if we know we're not where we're supposed to be, let's begin taking measures of faith and begin taking steps of faith so that God can lead us and get us to that place to where we're expending our gifts and our talents and our resources for God's plans and purposes for our lives. Because when you get to that place, you will be refreshed. You will be blessed, amen? And at that place, you'll be able to more freely be a blessing to those around you. At the end of the day, what is it that we ultimately need? We need His love. We need the love of God. When we know we have His love, when we feel it, when we hear it, when we can taste it and touch it and smell it, when we have His love, then we'll be at a place of being content. When we truly know that His love is present for us. See, true generosity can only exist in the context of the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It cannot come to us any other way. And God loves to give. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "And looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." Who was the joy that was set before Him? Everybody raise your right hand. Correct answer. You, me, we were the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus that caused Him to die on the cross, endure the cross, despising its shame, And because he went through that out of his love for us, he was then seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It gave Jesus great joy to give his life for you and me. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, you know it, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life." For 15 and 13 years, I owned two beagles. The male beagle was my fifth, what ended up being 15, and the 13-year-old, the 2-year younger, was our female beagle. And they were just, anybody here ever owned a beagle before? No one? Okay, a few of you. They're just loving dogs. They just love you. Actually, all dogs are loving, aren't they? If I would have had time, if you go to YouTube, you can watch some of these videos of dogs with their owners when they come home, and you just see how excited these dogs get when their owner's been gone, whether it's for 5 minutes or whether it's been for a whole day. When that owner, that master comes home, these dogs just go crazy. They go nuts. And on YouTube, they have some pretty funny things that dogs will do when they're just so excited for their master to come home. They just love us that much. It's an unconditional love. You might have yelled and screamed at them before you left in the morning and said, "Go sit in the corner, and you know, you're only getting 2 balls of food today until I get home," you know? But when you come home, they're right at the door and they're just waiting, craving for your affection. How many know what I'm talking about today? See, that's the kind of love that the relationship with God is wanting to give you and I today. He can't wait for us to come into his presence and to be with him. And we need to get to that point. I pray that we get to that point where we can't wait to be in his presence. We can't be in his presence enough. We can't be in prayer enough. We can't be in his word enough. We can't be in Christian fellowship enough. We can't be out serving enough. We can't be out giving enough. Why? Because we love God just that much. It's almost when we do all of those things on a daily basis, it's like God's looking down at us and we're his little pets and we're just wagging our tails and we're just like, he doesn't see us as his pets. But he loves us so very much, amen? Would you stand all over this place this morning? I believe with all of my heart that over the course of the next several months, God's going to begin creating opportunities for you and I to outreach. And you know what? It would be a shame if in our generous me life, it would be a shame when these doors begin to open to feed some people who are hungry, or to collect clothes to give to people who need them. Or maybe there's an area, a building or something that we need to go in and we can renovate it to be a blessing to this family or this outreach or whatever. It would be a shame as generous me to have these opportunities come to us. And let me tell you, they're coming. And we stand up here and say, okay, guys, over the next couple weekends, we have a tremendous opportunity to go out into the city of Worcester, to go out into the city of Shrewsbury, to go out into the city, wherever God would send us, we have this opportunity. It's going to cost us this amount, and we need this many people, and it's going to take this many hours, but let me tell you what it's going to do for our community. It would be a shame to get to that place and have no one sign up, and have no one give, and have no one ready to be a generous me for the sake of the kingdom of God. I'm just here to tell you today, you guys keep coming back. Listen, I know when I look back over the last several messages since probably mid-October, there's been some tough words that have come across this pulpit. And let me tell you, I'm just being obedient to the word of God. Matter of fact, up through Christmas time, we were just going through the book of Mark, so we were just taking it as it comes. Amen? But God's been getting us ready. And I look out amazed every week. We're growing. People keep coming back. So you must want to hear what God really wants to say. He's saying, get ready. He's saying, I want you to be a generous me. I want you to understand you own nothing. I own it all. But what I'm going to do through what I've given you is going to be amazing. And you're going to be blessed in it. And you're going to be refreshed in it. My children, are you ready to let my spirit work through your lives? If you would just say today, Pastor Tim, I've got some things I need God to help work on in my life, but I want to be at that place of fully being a generous me. And I want the relationship with God through Jesus Christ to be the precedent in my life over any other thing. If you're with me today, I'm raising my hand first. If you're with me today and you want to become that generous me, would you just raise your hand all over this place today? Raise that hand high. Hallelujah. Father, you see these hands. Lord God, you've been preparing your people, this part of the body of Christ. You've been preparing our hearts, molding us, shaping us, encouraging us, chastising us. God, you've been doing a lot over the last several months. And Lord God, I pray that we would just continue opening our hearts and surrendering ourselves before you, God, giving you the freedom to use our lives and do with them what you want, Father God, for your glory. God, anything that we need, any concerns that we have, we trust that in the midst of serving you, you will fully take care of all of those things. Bless this part of the family, Lord God. Bless them, encourage them. May your favor be upon them. And God, may they be excited. Lord God, when they leave here today, when they wake up in the morning, may they be excited about the opportunity to walk it with you in Jesus' name. One more thing we have to do. These altars are gonna open up. We're gonna begin to sing. I'm gonna ask you to join me at the altar and to pray and to seek God, to get out from your seat if you would allow God to use you in such a way, and to just come and humbly kneel before God and just have a personal few minutes with him before you leave today. But there might be someone here today that you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as excitable as Pastor Tim is today, if you're honest, you're not very excited because all you feel is the weight of the world on your shoulders right now. And I just want to tell you that there's a God who loves you. He sent his son Jesus to pay the price for that weight that's on your shoulders today. And if you will put your faith and your trust in the work that he did for you on the cross, he will begin to do some new things in your life that will simply be incredible. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died on the cross and that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. So we're gonna say a simple prayer this morning. All of us are gonna pray this prayer together. But if that's you this morning, you need a savior. You know you need Jesus. And you need to take that step of faith today. Pray this prayer with us out loud. And then immediately upon the amen, I want you to come up and either find me at the altar or Pastor Tim or Josh, one of our interns right here, come up and say, hey, I just prayed that prayer for the first time. We have a gift that we want to give you, and we want an opportunity just to give you a first few steps of what now. Amen? So let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Ready? Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. And I believe, I confess that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and God raised him from the dead. I put my faith in him. And this morning I call him Savior, and I receive his gift of forgiveness in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give God a hand clap this morning? You are loved. Join me in prayer this morning, if you would, at this altar. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, come and find one of us pastors. God bless you.